I want you to look at these and tell me what you see. One at a time.
That's a pussy. Lady's pussy.
Good.
This is the part between the asshole and the pussy. There's tits hanging down.
Thank you.
There's two ladies facing each other. Looks like there's cum dripping off of them.
Good, thank you.
There's two women again. They're holding their hands together. Looks like they're cupping cum.
Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast, and we're here today to finally do what we love to do every year, which is bitch and moan about the movies we love from 2012, but the other two people on the podcast just refuse to like. This is Andrew.
This is Dan. Already. This is how we're going to start 2013.
Yes, it is.
Didn't I already write an intro for this podcast, our 108th annual Pump Awards?
Well,
pretty sure I had an intro for it somewhere.
I was about to read it, but I wanted to get your names out of the way.
Oh, sorry.
So Damon,
trust me.
No, it's Andrew's podcast. He is movie god, so.
Would you like to, Damon?
Absolutely not.
So, on behalf of the League of Podcasting, I would like to welcome you to the 108th annual TUMP, aka TUMP, Awards Ceremony. Ever since March 10th, 1910, when those assholes in China ended slavery, the Unnamed Movie Podcast has been handing out awards. Our dedication and relentless pursuit of giving out awards have led to the start of the League of Podcasting, British Academy of Film and Television Arts, And building the first and only, and working, still working,
Guillermometer. I'm pretty sure it's still working.
Sure it's still working.
That Guillermometer, definitely. Yeah, it's doing its thing.
I'm pretty sure we're going to call on it from time to time tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The Guillermometer. So, from the very beginning, the TUMP Award has attracted significant international attention. Probably above all because it was the first explicitly international prize in the arms house field. In the era when the movies were black and white, standard definition, and largely garbage, the TUMP Award thus came to be perceived as the Olympic gold. So tonight we're going to be discussing a few things when it comes to 2012. We're going to dole out our individual, between the three of us, Douglas, Damien, and myself, top 10 movies of the year.
Alright, so let us begin. I think Andrew should start, since his name starts with an A.
Oh, we're doing this alphabetically. Okay.
Not really, you are going to start.
Not really. So, to kick off our top 10 movies of the year, my number 10 is going to go to Ben Wheatley's Sightseers. Now, his last film we reviewed on the podcast by the name of Kill List, which all of us had doubts about when we reviewed it.
We didn't have doubts. We were quite clear.
He's one mention away from being my worst movie. That's all. He needs to check himself. That's what he needs to do.
But his second film, Sightseers, which was basically a country parade of a vacation movie in which two psychopaths go around murdering random people throughout, brings a comedy so hard. Like, we've been asking about what have been the good comedies of 2012. I think Sightseers is one of the best comedies of the year, if not the. It grabbed me from the moment it started. I mean, there is a scene in which the man beats someone over the head with a rock because he asks his woman to pick up a piece of dog shit off the ground. And the way the scene is constructed gives you such guilt in watching and enjoying someone being murdered while you're laughing your ass off that I don't know a movie that did it better.
So this guy definitely has that type. Both his movies are about people walking around murdering other people.
Yeah. I think he has problems. I mean, mentally.
That was clear from the first
movie. But every once in a while, those guys are like the best filmmakers. I mean, look at the Guillermo.
No, there's no every once in a while with Terry G. He's on.
So, Damien.
Yes, sir.
You're number 10 of the year.
I don't actually have a number 10. I am forfeiting my number 10 post. And in its stead, I will put more Lord of the Rings where a 10 spot is supposed to be. It is technically one third, or in all fairness, it is 4/6 of the Lord of the Rings trilogy that I've put in my number 10 spot. That movie's really, it's not really a movie, right? Douglas said we need to give him props for turning essentially nothing into a 9-hour movie. But do we really? Alright, we shouldn't. But I love that movie so much. So good. I feel so bad about saying that. And if I was honest with myself, I'd have put it high on the list. But that's not fair to people who made a movie, you know, structured like a movie where shit happened. But more Lord of the Rings is more Lord of the Rings. And I don't see this going where the Star Wars prequels went, where from the word go, those prequels were a flaming ball of garbage that people were lying to themselves. It wasn't that bad. People either saw The Hobbit and went, The Hobbit's real good, or they saw it and went, I'm tired of Lord of the Rings. And good on Peter Jackson for, you know, continuing his track record with Lord of the Rings. Turns out that's all he's good. So yeah, that's my above number 9.
You're void of a 10 spot.
Yeah,
you're void of
my
a 10 spot.
That is the spot before number 9 pick. Douglas, if you could.
My number 10. Well, shit. I had to start this list off with a bang. I'm just gonna put it all out there. How can Douglas not have a top 10 list without a crazy movie, a French movie, or a crazy French movie? So Holy Motors is my number 10 pick.
You just roll them all into one.
Just roll it all into one. Both of you have seen it and you've spoken about it on the podcast before. It's a crazy ass movie. It's difficult to say what it's about without giving
Douglas, even
away
if you try
anything.
Giving up.
But really? Yeah, and at the same time, if you give it away, there's nothing to give up. Yeah. It's man, it's just really a day in the life of this magical man. And I'll say nothing more. But this was a fun watch.
And that end scene is real good. It's real weird.
Ugh.
It's real. I mean, for a movie like that to have something even weird that happened at the end took some doing.
Yeah.
But it's real good, guys. It's real good. Okay, so
my number 9 is a film by the name of Reality, which is the second film by the guy who made Gomorrah. And this movie is, I feel, the best film to discuss the idea of faith over the past year. Because what it's really about is this guy in Italy who is a character. He is like the clown of the family at every wedding. He dresses up in drag. He's a delight to watch on screen. And one random day, his family kind of pushes him, knowing he is the character of the family, to audition to be on the Italian version of Big Brother. So he goes and he does his audition. And he thinks it goes great. And he's pretty sure he's going to get the phone call. And then for the rest of the movie, you spend sitting watching him go pretty much insane waiting for that phone call, saying he's going to keep coming. He sells off his business. He does everything under the sun, planning for the fact that he's going to be on Big Brother. And it is just a joy to sit through. It is the perfect dark discussion of faith and celebrity, and what is a celebrity, as this guy becomes a celebrity in his own town for the first half of this movie, where people are all cheering for him, all believing he's going to be on Big Brother, and it's just so great and enjoyable.
So my number 9 pick comes from the people who gave us The Matrix. It is Cloud Atlas. Now, Douglas, have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
There are people now, and there will be people who see this movie in the future who will find things to not like about the movie. And this is fine.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of those people. I think it is an expertly crafted love story that is wrapped in this sci-fi, a sci-fi shell, and it was one of the few movies this year that genuinely surprised me, because I did not expect much from a movie with Halle Berry in it. She was definitely one of the things that when I saw that she was in it, I went, this probably isn't going to work. But the movie won me over, and it didn't even take that long. They kind of surrounded her with a lot of actors that we love, but that it's not like she didn't pull up her end. The entire movie was just...
Wasn't that you saying so?
No, I thought that she was going to fail. I thought she was going to be the point where the movie failed.
Can I tell you, I thought it was hilarious that like, what will you call it? The pigeon language that they were using.
Yeah, the true. So good.
But Damien, before you finish talking about this movie, I thought about this while I was watching it. I just want to bounce this off of you. Would I be incorrect to say that Cloud Atlas is at its center, really just a better version of Magnolia?
Douglas, we can't get into that on this podcast.
Douglas, you get in your corner, sir.
We cannot. I don't think we should do that on this podcast. It's the wrong time. Talk about that. Talk to me next week. Next week, I'm just giving you a heads up. I'm already on this side. But Cloud Atlas was a joy to watch. It didn't feel like 3 hours, which is always a plus. And by the end of the movie, at the start of the movie, it was just a mishmash of stories that there was clearly going to be some thread that tied them all together. And by the end of the movie, it was just this really, really good way to like connect all these stories throughout these timelines and tell this kind of broad but at the same time really specific series of love stories. And I didn't expect that from it, but then people who have read the books would have probably known that ahead of time, but I wasn't one of those people.
These are books, or this was
based
book
on a book
before.
It was surprising, probably the only surprise I had this year. And it was really good, and that's why it's in number 9.
Mm-hmm. So before I tell you what my number name is, I have to say that I had to work very hard to get this week in the top 10.
I don't think you had to.
Top 10 gymnastics or no?
I think you did the opposite of work hard to make sure it was in your top 10.
No,
like avoid good movies.
There are a lot of arguably better movies that could have been put there, but I just love this movie. So
first of all, before he says
that's why
movies,
it's your
I'd
top
like,
10.
I'd like everyone to note that just by logic, this movie is better than Holy Motors, which I agree with.
Fair enough.
You're a
I'll
bad
give
person.
That much.
You're a bad person. You're also both wrong, but never mind.
but this movie came out early 2012. I watched it in the theaters and was, as Damien was with Cloud Atlas, extremely surprised at how much I enjoyed it. It didn't win me over though until it started to come on TV, and I just watch it and and it, I mean, just any movie with Flash Gordon has to be amazing, and my number 9 is Ted.
You said amazing.
Amazing.
And
have you watched Flash Gordon?
That
movie is the FP of the 70s, okay?
Okay. All right, fine.
And this movie somehow managed to transform the FP of the 70s into one of the funniest movies of the teens.
That Flash Gordon beat was real fun. It's not top 10 fun, but oh man.
So there it is, Ted, number 9. Better than Holy Motors.
Yep. Andrew Robinson, number 8.
So this is where I have to take from Damien and say my number 8 is the film that came from the Wachowski siblings as well as Tom Tykwer. Cloud Atlas.
Oh, he directed that too?
Yeah, it was the three of them.
Helped write.
He's the guy that directed 3. I still haven't watched that movie yet, but that trailer was amazing.
You should get on it.
I should.
What Damien didn't really mention about this movie, which is something I particularly love about the way it's executed, is that, yes, it sees 6 connected stories of all of these timelines, which all playing together as the movie likes to put it forward, lives that affect each other. But more than that is that I like that when you take a closer look at the movie, and I don't know if you just didn't mention it or you didn't notice it during the movie, but it's only through art that these connections are really made. We can see in specific examples the movie gives us through the Cloud Atlas sextet, which we then see Halle Berry look for. We then see Halle Berry in the 70s, and we then see the book that the boy in the 70s writes is then found by someone else in the next timeline. There's the journal of the guy on the ship found by Ben Whishaw, who is doing the Cloud Atlas sextet, and all of these connections are made, and there are a lot more, but I'm kind of foggy on exactly which ones are where right now. But the thing that I love most about this movie is the way in which it surprises you at every turn. I mean, I mentioned it to Damien when he talked about the fact that he had seen only part of the movie and he was going to watch the rest later a couple weeks ago, when I asked him to look closely to the credits and tell me how many of them you caught while you were watching the movie.
Yeah, that was a fun little game to play. Did anybody catch Hugh Grant playing the cannibal?
Yeah.
That was
I thought that
was hilarious.
the Korean Halle Berry, which was I mean, there was a lot. There was a couple obvious ones, like the lady who was in charge of the old folks home.
Yeah, that
was
not
a lady.
Mr. Smith, yeah.
Well, yeah, that one was
right,
very
there were
obvious.
Some obvious ones. And then the less obvious, and it was, I blame Andrew for telling me that before I watched the movie, because I thought actually watched the movie twice, because the first time I finally got to the end, most of my time was spent looking at people's faces and going, oh, that's him. And so I caught most of them. Like when I went through this, I said, like, yeah, I saw that. There are some where the characters weren't on screen for that long that I could not have possibly caught. But
yeah.
A lot of them I caught back. And it is a testament to how good the movie is. I actually rewatched it twice this week. And it's, again, it's not a short movie.
No.
It's really good.
It's a very good movie. I love it so much. It was one of those movies we were sitting on and going, this movie is going to be a train wreck when we saw that trailer.
Yeah. It didn't look real good. But it worked out. My number 8 is Moonrise Kingdom, and we've talked this movie to death, so I will move on to Douglas Ross.
Number 8, that has to go to a comedian who has now, for some reason, he's not even a comedian, a bad actor who's now become a seemingly better actor. Bradley Cooper, who starred in The Silver Linings Playbook with Jennifer Lawrence.
And Chris Tucker.
And Chris Tucker, right, yes.
That's what I said.
And, I don't even know why I didn't remember him.
That was the joke that you were setting up.
No, that was not the joke. But this movie is amazing. This movie
is gone from Kyiv.
Is gone from Kyiv, which is, you know,
my fault.
Not only your fault, but it is a testament to how good it truly is.
Kyiv doesn't play it.
Douglas, if we use that as a metric, then all our top 10 has to change.
Well, no, a lot of my top 10 would stay the same. I suppose Ted would have to come out.
Lupa would have to come out.
No, how long was that? There?
2 weeks.
Exactly.
Alright, fine. It would be number 10.
So,
the
I would only have 2
stay.
Or 4 actually. Okay, fair enough. But 7 out of 10 is a decent
bad.
Percentage.
That is not bad.
But yeah, this is a great you know, movie about an almost impossible connection between two people. You know, it's number 8 and 2. Andrew, your number 7 is?
My number 7 goes to the man who started out dating but now can't stop loving. Cox. I thought they ran out of them. Right.
Happy second week in January.
Happy day 6 in January, guys. Let's light up some fireworks. Woo! Sierra's gonna be
They're
awesome.
Like, we've got some left over. Let's just go and shoot them.
Where are the police when you need them?
Right, so my number 7, it goes to Mr. Ben Affleck and his film Argo.
Argo, fuck yourself. That's pretty good. That is pretty good.
They're shooting me, guys.
Please tell me that that's you shooting the people who are setting up fireworks. This will be great on the recording.
That's why I'm not talking right now. I'm waiting for it to finish.
Right, but we have a hard out on this podcast, so I suggest you talk over it.
Yeah, that's true. We have to leave here by about 9:30.
The movie is pretty much the best CIA thriller, other than one which technically didn't come out in 2012, and I'm not allowed to have on my list this year, because. It's just that good. I mean, I still can't get out of my mind that table reading scene juxtaposed with all of the news coming out of the country, including an execution scene which happened in that same moment. I love the film so much. I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about it some more later in this podcast, so I'm going to leave it there.
Okay. My number 7 wish. Guys, let me be clear. Even though I've put this movie at number 7, there's no way this is the 7th best movie that came out this year. The only reason I'm putting it there is because I've only seen this movie once. I did not get a chance to rewatch it for obvious reasons. but my number 7 is, I'm sure, what will go down as one of the best movies to be made in many, many years, is The Master. We talked about this movie, of course, and like, there's not enough, you know, praise and platitudes that I can heap on both the performances and, you know, the direction, just everything about the movie. But I still have the problem that I've only seen it once. There's like, I can only, you know, look to, you know, what I remember about the movie. And what I didn't want to do is, you know, elevate the movie because of the circumstances that I saw it in. There could not have been better circumstances.
Alone
to watch
in a
movie
dark
like
theater with,
right,
Douglas.
That sounds worse than it. I should, but sure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If I could watch all movies like that, I'd probably hit the okay button. Again, that sounds worse than it probably should. But The Master is, it's crazy, it's phenomenal, and more movies like that should be made. It's just from top to bottom, there's just nothing, like, there's no, a lot of the movies I have on my list, there's things you can point out, go, you know, there, this didn't really line up, and there's a story hole here, or this didn't make sense. But The Master is one of the few movies that, no matter how hard you look through a microscope, I don't see you finding any flaws with this one. It's just going to come down to how much you enjoy the movie, and I really enjoy that movie. Douglas, what is your number 7?
Speaking of movies about almost impossible connections between people who shouldn't be connecting, my number 7 movie is Rust and Bone.
Rusty Bone.
Oh, so starring, you finally saw it.
Yes, I did. I got quite a bit of movie watching in over this week. I, you know me, Andrew, always down to the wire.
Oh, you mean you're Jamaican?
Yes. So, I mean, this movie is fantastic. We reviewed it once, or at least, well, not we. Andrew and Damon reviewed it once on the podcast. I have finally now seen it, and hope that I agree, as I did block them out and have no clue what they said about the movie. But Marion Cotillard is fantastic. This homeless guy is pretty good too. And just, you know, the story of him kind of growing from this, I don't know if hapless is the right word, but, you know, kind of drifter who doesn't care too much about other people and just, you know, kind of sails through life. That transition into, you know, who he becomes at the end of the movie because of Marion Cotillard. And I suppose you could say other people in the movie, but mainly because of that connection is superb. Number 7 it is.
I have to argue this movie out of, like, the whole of last year. I had to come up with lies.
Yeah.
I'm not putting this down. I'm not even going to do this to myself right now.
Anyone listening right now, if you're hearing all sorts of gunshotty noises, I'm not dying. Right? I'm ducking and diving. They're shooting fireworks outside. Please don't be scared for me.
Okay. What is your number 6 pick?
My number 6 pick, which matches these fireworks outside, is a film Douglas already mentioned, David O. Russell's Silver Linings Playbook. This movie shouldn't be this high on my list. It's the kind of movie that really shouldn't contest it, but it's one of those movies I've seen this year, which if you present to me right now, I will stop this podcast and watch it as opposed to talk to you guys. I've seen it twice in the theater already, and I'm still considering watching it again. The movie is that good, and from moments ranging from the diner crazy scene to him being outside the theater to what I consider one of the best realization points in the film, which I won't spoil since Damien hasn't seen the film yet.
Thank you.
The movie is just brilliant. I mean, it does fall into the rom-com genre a little too tidily at times, but regardless, it has one of the best dance scenes I've seen this year.
Yes, it does.
And it's just too fun.
Taking this movie off my list.
Damien, what's your number 6?
Yes, Damien, speaking of movies that shouldn't be on a top right. 10 podcast, on a top 10 list.
My number 6 pick is, of course, The Avengers. I don't know if you saw that puny god thing when Hulk decided to do very bad things to Loki. Douglas, let me give you the reason why this is on my top 10 list.
No, you can't. I can't argue with you now. Remember, I have Ted on my top 10.
No. It is kind of like that, but the movie came out
in the summer, I think.
And I saw it twice in theaters. I think the Blu-ray came out October, something like that, late September, early October. The play count stands on this movie at 16, Douglas. 16. I'll say that about 4 times I wasn't present while the movie was being watched. But over the Christmas break, for the 2 weeks, like the week before and the week after Christmas, I saw that movie with other people no less than 5 times. And at no point did I go, you know, I can say, you know, the weakness is in this. Maybe this will, every single time. Every single time that third act kicks off, and madness start, and the S hits the F, it is, that is 45 minutes of non-stop awesome. He filmed awesome and then tacked it on to the Avengers movie. You can't do anything but like that. It's so fun. Is it the best written movie? No. Is it the best acted movie? No. I didn't even realize that there's a shawarma scene at the end of the credits.
Yeah, they...
Right
they
at the end, just before the movie...
Only for the American cut. The international releases didn't get that only extra scene.
Right at the end of the... After everything is done on the credit.
Is it when it goes out to the space and this guy...
No. There's another one after that.
Shit.
Right at... I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know
but that. But I own this Blu-ray. Hold on, I'm going to have to watch it now.
Right at the end, just before the Marvel comes up. At the end credits, like after they've run all of the other credits, there's a scene of all of them in the shawarma shop just eating, not saying anything. And like, I've seen this movie about 8 times, I've never seen it. And it was only because they couldn't figure out how to stop the movie that I saw that. Oh, that's pretty good. Look, guys, the Avengers is the Avengers. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, it, like, people shouldn't. Everyone should have this higher on their list because that is ridiculous. But I've seen the movie enough times that I can safely say it is at least the 6th best movie that I have seen this year. So Douglas Robinson.
Yes, sir.
What is number 6?
Number 6?
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of said it already. You gave my reason for putting this movie in the top 10. You have to give the man props for taking a book with about, 150 pages and turning
scenes worth of content.
And turning it into 3 hour long movies. I didn't think it could work, but I have to take my hat off to him. The Hobbit is a great... Wait, hold on, sorry. I love The Hobbit. I seriously do think it's a great movie on the level of the first Lord of the Rings movies. The Lord of the Rings movies. And the Well, you know, we've spoken about this already. It never, you know, feels drawn out. It's beautiful. It's exciting. It's entertaining, and it just takes you along for the ride.
I think what Peter Jackson did so expertly in this movie is all the pieces add up to one whole. If you take a holistic view of the movie. Like what I had to do at the end of the movie, you look back at it and you go, something is. But if you ignore that and you just start at the beginning and watch each thing, how he lays it out, all of them are real good. They're really good. The music, like everything works. Everything in this movie is. And I guess to no small degree, you have to love Lauder in order to love
this. Of course.
But I'm pretty sure when the posters came out, you knew that. The second you heard The Hobbit, you were either on board to watch more Lord of the Rings, or you weren't. And if you weren't and you went to watch it, that is your fault. Peter Jackson doesn't need you to come and watch the movie. He has the rest of us. The Hobbit. Andrew Robinson. Now we're getting into the meat of the matter. What is number 5?
I'm being murdered by fireworks.
No one cares. What is number 5?
My number 5 goes to the man, the legend, the Django.
Have they broken in? Is that your alarm?
It's zombies,
no, it's
guys.
The fireworks are vibrating the windows. And they're doing the beepy sounds. Like, erg. Django Unchained. It is the genre action western blaxploitation revenge film that we've all wanted, and it is glorious.
Douglas, can I borrow your phone, please? I need to call the Tarantino fan site. HQ to let them know that Andrew Robinson does not have Django as
number one.
Like, not even close to the top 3.
I wish I did. I really wish, because Leonardo DiCaprio is so good in this movie, guys. I mean, there have been people pining for him to get the best supporting nod this year, and I really hope he does.
Good luck with that.
Have you watched Django, by the way?
No.
No?
It starts at 4:30.
Yes.
But he can't win because the master came out this year. There's no... Look, if one
master.
Of them doesn't win for best actor, the other is going to win for best support. There's just no one's getting close. I'm very sorry.
And then you have Lincoln came out as well.
Right.
Year,
so
which, despite me not watching it, I just know.
Yeah.
You know, so Daniel Day.
When Daniel Day wins for best actor, supporting is going to the master. They cannot pick either one of them or pick both.
So no award for Holy Motors guy, no award for what's his name, Levant something?
Daniel Day Lewis came out in a movie where he's impersonating the most famous American to ever walk. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be. Pretty sure. If he doesn't, that would be great, but feeling real confident even though I haven't seen the movie that he has that one wrapped up. But I'm really surprised that Django isn't high on your list just to share bias. I thought this movie would have been at least.
You don't know
how
much I want it to, guys. You don't know how much I want it to.
That is impressive.
My top 4 movies are just that good.
That is impressive. My top 5 movie has already been spoken about by a man much smarter than myself, despite him having it below 10, is Holy Motors. Now, if you're listening to this and you go, well, if those two like Holy Motors, then I should give it a watch. I have one caveat for you. Do you like strange French movies? If you can think of 3 offhand, then by all means go into this movie. If you cannot, then stay away. Don't do it to yourself. I don't want to get any messages that we lied to you and that movie is horseshit. I don't want to hear it. The movie is tremendous. It's a tremendous, tremendous film that even in 2012,
I still looked at it and went, how on earth did you guys, who pitched this movie and someone pointed at that and went, okay, we're doing that. How did this movie get made? But it was so good. I'm so glad that I saw it. Douglas Robinson, what is your number five?
I've got to pull out the master. It, you know, it's on Damon's list. I hope it's on Andrew's list. Actually, no, I don't hope it's on Andrew's list. I don't want Andrew to like any movies that I like. but The Master stars two excellent actors. One who went a bit crazy recently, Joaquin, and then there's Philip Seymour.
One who's been doing it since part of
it. Yeah. Yeah. Both of them, this movie really fit them because this movie, you could almost say it's not really a movie. It's kind of a showcase for these two people. That's really what this film was. Because I think it probably should be in the Guinness Book of World Records for most monologues ever. so this despite that, this movie is fantastic. It's just you can't even describe it.
I want to watch this movie.
It's great.
So badly.
So I'm sad that it couldn't be higher. Unfortunately, it couldn't be higher.
I know, Douglas. I'm 100% certain that when I get to watch this movie again, that I will value it higher than a lot of the movies. I know it. I've only seen it once and I don't remember. Like, I remember loving the movie.
Yeah.
I just can't remember specifically.
Yeah, some of the details kind of fall off.
Alright,
no?
So
yeah.
Question. Damien.
Yes.
Of all of the movies on your list,
mm-hmm.
How many times would you say you've seen those movies?
The movie that I've seen the least amount of times. No, outside of The Master, I only saw that twice. Everything else I've seen multiple times.
Douglas?
I honestly I've not watched a movie multiple times very often in a long time. I would say though that so I have to kind of answer the opposite to that question. I have to answer which ones have I seen the most, and that would probably be Ted.
Cause that's on TV now.
Yeah, cause that's on TV now. Ted. That's actually the only movie I think that I've seen more than once on my list.
Cause of my list, only three of my films I've seen multiple times, and that's twice only.
Right, so I've seen The Hobbit twice, I've seen Cloud Atlas twice, technically. Moonrise Kingdom far more than twice.
It is
Andrew Paul's asking me this question this early in the podcast.
Actually, what you should do is beep it. I'd like to see a return of the beep.
Right. Oh, it's off.
Like, what bad words are they talking about?
Weird.
So where are we in the list?
Number
Douglas
four.
Just talked about his number five. Yeah. So I'm going to four now.
Yeah.
My number four goes to my favorite documentary of the world of the year.
Favorite documentary of the world. The entire world.
There are a lot of documentaries which people have been lauding this year, and some I have not been able to see, which I'm sad about. But this one is my favorite that I've seen this year, and it's The Imposter. I talked about it a while back. It's what I feel is the documentary of the year, which did the most with its narrative in order to create a suspenseful story as opposed to just giving us a lot of facts. And because, I mean, when this movie ends, you're kind of left with enough questions and enough answers that you still want to know more of what's going to be happening. But at the same time, you can still make your assessment as to what the movie wanted you to think about and wanted you to figure out about this story. And that's what I love it so much. I'm pretty sure neither of you guys have seen this movie yet, and it makes me very, very, very sad.
Is
you guys need to watch this movie.
2012's Exit Through the Window? Is just that again? Am I going to be disappointed?
You mean
again?
Exit Through the Gift Shop?
To the Gift Shop, right.
That's a good movie though. Fun.
This is 2012's yeah, Man
I'm
on
not
Wire.
Saying, I'm not saying it would be anywhere.
This is 2012's
good,
tabloid, Damien.
I think
this
you're
2012's
pandering.
Tabloid.
I'm pretty sure you're lying to me right now. You're just trying to make me watch this movie, which I will. I will get around to it. But that would be it.
Douglas won't.
Fair enough. My number four. My number four is Argo.
Fuck yourself.
Thank you very much, sir. Douglas, what is your number four?
My number four is a great movie. Great. I had to bend some rules to get this one in. But I got it in. Here. Under the Wire. We need to talk about Kevin.
Yeah.
Starring Ezra Miller, John C. Reilly, and Tilda Swinton. This movie is fantastic. It's making me speechless. I have nothing to say. That is my number four. Go watch it if you haven't watched it. If you've watched it, watch it again.
Can you just put that over on the overall?
There's another Ezra Miller movie that came out this year which almost made my list.
Yes. Oh, The Perks of the Wallflower?
Everybody.
I love that movie so much.
I started watching it and it looked pretty good.
Right. Andrew Robinson, what is your number three?
My number three goes to the man, Paul Thomas Anderson and the Master. It's fantastic. You guys
to like my movie.
You guys have talked about
it. He has it higher than the both of us.
I know he does.
Like, I don't know anyone who's been able to make a movie, can I say ever, in which there are so many scenes and so many shots where they're just extended focuses on just faces, and it still just entrances you. Like, you never sit down and go, well, that scene took 20 minutes, and you're just tired out here. The movie is great. I love it so much, and I can't wait until I can see it again. It comes out next month in theaters here. I can't wait.
Wait, sorry, what did you say? The Master comes out next month in theaters?
In Trinidad. Yeah. It hasn't been to theaters in Trinidad
That's
yet.
That's crazy.
Right. So, number three. Now, while with Avengers, people could argue.
Can we just...
Bullshit. There's no way in God's name... Douglas, you've come up with a horseshit argument to
no,
keep this movie up.
No.
Film.
Listen.
Look here, sir.
There are certain films.
So everyone
I have so much bias for that,
that
I know I cannot.
Make sense.
Yeah, I cannot reasonably put them in my list. Like, and this is one of them.
If I put this in there, bad things will happen to this list.
So everyone listening right now, if you've been listening to Damien's list and you've been wondering, where is the man? Who thinks that First Blood 2 is the greatest
movie
of
all
time?
He's coming up.
He's coming back right
picks.
Now.
Now, I know you guys have come up with creative ways to keep this movie off your list. And I'm going to tell you both that you're wrong. And
you
the
mean
thing,
like picking
the,
good movies?
The thing is, you guys also know you're wrong. That is the thing that gives me, you know, that gives me solace. I know you guys have taken
Does
this movie off.
Does it give
off
you a quantum of solace?
No, not a quantum of it. Just a little bit of solace.
Is it for your eyes only?
Only for my eyes. We can continue this, but we're short on time. I remember us talking about this movie, and so I know this movie should be on both your lists, and you have come up with ways to keep it off, and that is fine. I don't have that problem. This is the second best James Bond movie to ever be put out, and so it is number three on the list. If you guys really think that Ted and for Andrew Django and Sightseers is better than Skyfall, that is fine. But you're wrong as shit.
Wait until you've seen Django and you come right back.
If you think
that you are going to fall so deep in love with that movie.
There's no way. There's no way. Everything that I've read about Django, there's no chance it is good. It's as good as that. But I haven't seen it yet, so we'll get to that when we get to it. Oh, and if you think Douglas' number 3 pick is better than my number 3 pick, you're high as shit. Douglas Robinson, what is your number 3 pick?
My number 3 pick is Signs. Redux. That's my number 3 pick.
I think this is my biggest surprise of our list, because I didn't see anyone putting this on
their list.
This was the movie that I championed from earlier this year.
I love this movie. This movie. Oh my goodness. I have Signed a soft Redux. Space, a soft spot in my heart for no, definitely not for Signs. But I have a place there for the Duplass Brothers. And they came out with just balls out awesome movie this year, and that was Jeff Reeves at Home, starring none other than Jason Segel, who killed it while living at home. Ed Helms was fantastic.
Was also really good.
My goodness.
And his wife was awesome.
Everybody in this movie was really good. This movie was just, and I love that it works not only as a movie by itself,
yeah,
but also as
if I had remembered that it was Signs Redux, I might have put it on.
You see, I really hate that subtitle you guys are giving
it.
Signs Redux.
Perfect.
I don't see, like, other than the fact that the guy likes Signs and they have that.
No, you see, honestly,
everything works.
That kind of makes it a little bit too blatant. But if you were to take it out, right, you took out that scene, everything else
works. It worked.
Oh, are you going to make me watch that? It's like, it's just,
don't do that. No. Don't do that. Andrew Robinson, what is your number 2?
My number 2 goes to the man Rian Johnson and Lupo. Because, guys, Rian Johnson has been a filmmaker that we have all loved for so long. He's given us Brick, he's given us The Brothers Bloom, he's now given us Lupo, which is the best movie ever because it tells us that Joseph Gordon-Levitt will turn into Bruce Willis. The movie's great, guys. Douglas, what's your number 2?
Wait, it's not my turn yet.
My
it's Damien's turn.
Why are we just keeping me?
I don't know why. Don't just
right.
Talk your
because I don't want to hear
bullshit.
Your number 2 day.
Talk your fanboy bullshit. Right. Let's go.
My number 2 movie is Donkey Kong Return. I mean, I'm sorry. Douglas has DKR. And pretty sure. The Dark Knight Rises. Now, I love how Douglas Robinson just prefaced what I said with talk it fanboy bullshit.
Listen,
having the Hobbit. The Hobbit.
No.
At number 6.
Honestly, The Hobbit is supposed to be on my
okay.
my list of, right. of not allowed movies, but right. for that one fact that Peter Jackson was able to shove all of that into 3 hours,
right,
he has to get it.
Yes, I want you to remember a time. Before Chris Nolan made Batman movies. Do you remember those dark times?
Listen, huh? I said it already. Mm-hmm. My argument is not that this is a good movie. My
okay.
argument
is
that there is so much bias
okay.
that I have. I
don't
could
have,
not reasonably put these
I don't
things
have
on
any concerns about bias. Partly because it is not my number one movie. So I gave myself a free pass with this one. Now, people don't like The Dark Knight Returns. I mean, those people can eat a dick. I don't give a shit about those people.
Damien, what's your thought of The Dark Knight Returns?
I saw
Dark Knight Rises.
Returns are rising. Taken as a whole.
It's a movie starring Christian Bale
and Donkey Kong.
And
taken as a whole.
Keaton comes back and punches
Taken
Christian Bale
as a whole. The Dark Knight saga
and then
is now over.
Comes in for a while.
I'm going to talk over you people as long as you continue this. The Dark Knight saga is now over. More cowbell is good. And Chris Nolan killed it. I love this movie. And if we're going to talk about play counts on XBMC, Dark Knight is more than 16. I won't tell you how much more than 16, but it is way over 16.
Didn't that movie only just come out, like, in the Christmas season?
That doesn't change anything. You know when you wake up and you go, I didn't feel like doing anything today. You know what the first thing I go to? This. Go to this. This is go-to number one. Chris Nolan did it, guys. He made three great Batman movies. Sure, the second one is probably the best one that he made. But the mere fact that he was able to make three great Batman movies stands as a testament not only to him, but to how good these movies are. Batman is in the title. And we love all of them. And that should not have happened. Not on my world. Maybe on Andrew's world, where his documentary is the best in the world, but not my own. So yeah, DKR number two. Douglas Robinson, what is your number one?
My number two pick?
Yes.
Loops right back to Andrew's number two pick.
Okay.
It is Looper.
Andrew Robinson was his number one.
Enough said.
We're going to do puns. I'm not going to cut it off real quick.
So my number one, it goes to Abbas Kiarostami and his latest film, Like Someone in Love. The movie is about an older gentleman in Tokyo who hires a prostitute one night. And it takes a very weird approach to that relationship, as we get to spend literally a day with them as we try to figure out what it is this older gentleman wants through this relationship, as it's definitely not sex.
Is it and Pretty Woman Part 2?
It is not Pretty Woman at all. It feels almost as if he's trying to impart his knowledge of life to this younger woman who's going through all of this trouble at this time in her life.
That's who you want to impart all your knowledge to, prostitutes.
And the movie, just like a movie that we've all mentioned on our list, The Master, finds a way to entrance you in these scenes of heavy dialogue where we just have people trying to figure out what the other person is thinking at that moment. There's one scene especially that I love, in which the girl's boyfriend jumps into a car with this older gentleman, and he starts to say that he wants to propose marriage to this girl, and he tries to talk him out of it by explaining why that would be a bad idea and what he needs in life to get to that point where he would be able to propose marriage to this girl, because he assumes this older gentleman is the girl's father or grandfather. And I downright love this movie. Damien asked me last week when I talked to him about this movie for the first time if it was because I saw it under the glaring lights of the Toronto Film Festival that I have this look about this movie. I don't think that's the reason, because, I mean, that's the same reason why I have The Master on my list. That's the only place I've gotten to see The Master so far this year. But the movie still grabs me, and I can't wait to see it again.
Okay. My number one has been spoken about by Andrew, and was made a mockery of by Douglas Robinson. It is our boy Ryan Johnson's. This is Lupo. The movie is
the
number
Blu-ray's
two.
On the way, guys.
The movie is number two on your guys' list for a reason, but I didn't see anything better than Lupo this year. I have not seen Andrew's number one. I have seen Douglas's number one, and Douglas will explain why he thinks his number one is better, but I cannot find anything. The only thing that I thought could
I'm
have...
I'm actually surprised that my number one isn't even on your list.
There's a reason for that. The only movie that I thought would have taken this movie off of the number one spot was pushed to 2013. So that freed me from any such worry. Lupo is fantastic. There's things in the movie that are genuinely affecting, and the movie goes places that you didn't think a movie like this was going to go. And I mean, the end of the movie has been made fun of since the movie came out. Everybody has their little jokes, and I'm sure everybody knows the overall concept on what happens at the end of the movie. But pointing at that ignores the rest of the movie, and that is where the movie is awesome. From the opening of the movie, you kind of get a sense for what the movie is going to be like, and then halfway through the movie, everything kind of flips, and you realize that the movie is going for something on a much grander scope than what you thought initially. And by the time the movie ends, you just like, you're just so impressed by what he's able. Like, we knew this movie was going to be good, but I just didn't realize how good he was going, how good a movie was going to be. And much like with Lord of the Hobbit, if
Lord you take
right, I was going to say more Lord of the Rings. Much like the Hobbit,
I actually like Lord of the Hobbit. We should call it that for a moment.
Lord of the
like
Hobbit is really good. The same way, if you take each section and just watch it, you know, like piecemeal, you'd still enjoy it, but then when you take it as a whole, it is just so much more impressive. There's some shootout scenes that were kind of magic. Like, there's this guy running down a hall and you see his shadow, and you see Bruce Willis with a gun, and you go, I know where this is going to go. I've seen Bruce Willis' gun before. And just non-stop, the movie, the acting, the everything. This movie is, like, I haven't seen anything even close to this movie for a year.
Like, can I tell you that from this year, that movie has one of my favorite shots in a film. There's a moment after that big gun scene with Bruce Willis in the club. And when it's over, you just see Bruce Willis look at the camera and blood is all over his face. And then they cut immediately to the child with the same... And it's so good.
There's so much that I love about this movie. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough time for me to...
I think if we did a review episode of that movie, like, it would be a 5-hour episode. Yeah, we'd just rambling on. We'd call up Ryan Johnson. We'd be like, hey...
The movie. Non-stop. Douglas Robinson, what is your number one?
My number one. Well, before...
Your one and only.
Before
one.
I talk about my number
no
one.
No, Douglas.
No, I want to...
Just talk about number one.
I want people to recognize.
Mm-hmm. Who's talking to them?
I want
the guy
to talk
who
about
put Ted over Holy Motors.
Exactly. I just want to talk about a few of the movies that I had to argue down for things like my number one, as well as, you know, gems like Ted to be on my list. Right?
Okay.
So
you did more work than we did to get these movies.
Yeah, I did a lot of work. Right? So In getting these movies on my list, I totally overlooked things like Cloud Atlas, things like Argo, things like Moonrise Kingdom, Safety Not Guaranteed, which is fantastic, as well as Killing Them Softly, which I got in under the wire and still didn't use in my list.
You know
what is wrong with me?
You also disqualified two movies based on bias.
I did disqualify two movies based on bias, and we shall never talk about them again.
I'm pretty sure they'll come up at some point. So your number one.
My number one movie this year is Jaws.
Jaws is pretty good.
Jaws is pretty good. Yeah.
No, I will...
By Jaws.
No, I wasn't going... You asked me... You said you were surprised it wasn't on my top 10.
Yeah. Hold on, let's at least say... I have to say, for those of you listening, that Jaws is my affectionate name
Douglas,
for
I'm
sound
pretty
of
sure
my voice.
After listening for an hour and 4 minutes later, listened on to hear what actually was... Pretty sure they would have gone, what, Jaws? And turn off the podcast. The reason I didn't have Son of My Voice on the list is because I don't know if the reason I love that movie is for the right reasons.
So hold on. You allow yourself to put a James Bond movie
No.
Batman movie
Douglas
and worry about the bias you might have for one of the best
it's not just bias. It's not just bias.
In 2012.
Last year when I told you guys that Another Earth was one of my favorite movies,
mm-hmm.
y'all gave me shit and yes. I ignored you, yes. which is what I do all the time. I still think that movie is even better than this one. But when I saw Sound of My Voice, and I've only seen it once,
mm-hmm.
I watched it and went, this movie is amazing. And then I came to you guys kind of timidly because I didn't want what happened last year to happen again, because that would lead to a trend. And then I realized that no, maybe her movies aren't that good. Maybe it's just her. And then I saw Arbitrage and I went, oh no, it's not just her, because the movie is not mediocre at best. And I said, oh, maybe it's not her. Should I put Son of My Voice in this? Not rewatch it, because I don't want to rewatch it and go, now that the shine has rubbed off, now that she's no longer perfect, she's been in a mediocre movie, I don't want to put it on, watch it again and go, oh, no, scared me, man. That one was like, I'd have put Son of My Voice in movies I technically haven't seen. That's where I'd have put it. Because I have to see it again in order to know whether or not genuinely love the movie, or was I in a haze. Because I remember liking the movie, I said that to you, and that's why I brought the movie to you guys. And you watch it and it is your number one, so you absolutely love it. And there's things I remember about the movie that are well done. In fact, the whole premise that they set up for this movie, the execution on that premise is really well done, which is why I remember loving the movie so much. But I don't, at this point, I'm not sure. I can't put a movie on my top 10 that I'm not sure. The 10 movies that are there are without question. So when I see it again, maybe I'll have to come back and, you know, give some kind of, apology for my initial top 10, but when I see it again, I'll apologize to you, not having it. But it will be in the overall top 10. Kind of want it. So, Son of My Voice, do you really love this movie?
I love
it. Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Alright, and with that, our individual top 10 pick.
And that's after despising.
Yes.
Another Earth.
Yes.
So you should take some solace in that. Take a quantum of solace.
Yes, take a quantum and put some more solace in there. So now that we've done our top 10, which went out pretty smoothly,
there's actually a minimal mocking went on.
Yeah, a minimal amount of mocking.
So that's been our top 10. So thanks for listening.
That's a bullshit ass top 10.
Big and shiny, melting your heart of stone. I love to get you on a shlobo to China. Well, all to myself alone. Out on the briny, big and shiny, melting your heart of stone. I'm out to get you on a slow boat to China.
What am I yelling about? I got the job.
You myself, oh, alone on a boat.